Welcome to the Jeremy Mullins Podcast. I am Jeremy, your host, and I'm here today with the guest, Scott Oatley. Did I get it right?
That's enough. I'll take it.
All right. Like, everybody knows, listen, I'm from Appalachia. There was just John's and Jeremy's. Your first name, I'm good. Scott. That's pretty familiar. And if you're a new listener, guys, Scott is a partner of the podcast. He helps sponsor the podcast. His company is a Summit Rejuvenation Clinic. Is that, did I get that right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm getting fancy, right? Instead of just saying Summit for short, right?
That's for the doozy, man.
Yeah. And I'm also getting like, you know, I've learned, you know, cause it's, you're just to be just been Scott, right? No last name, nothing like that. And I've learned as I've referred, you know, some people over, some business owners like, well, Jeremy, you might be a little bit more professional. And then I'm like, nope, you know what? if it's somebody that I have a good connection with and I'm sending me your text, your cell number, I think Scott is just fine, right?
Scott will do just fine. About me a bit.
100%. So last time we had on here, we did a really broad, you know, conversation of what Summit did, you know, how you're helping people. And now what I want to do is I want to go through a series kind of the rest of the year. My game plan is just breaking it down into one topic at a time, keeping it short and having conversations really of what people feel, right? Because I can set up here and I just had my follow-up blood work done. You know, I'm at 99 percentile when it comes to testosterone. I think I was right at 990 something. Everything was good except for B12 was not maximal. You know, so I added some B12 to the regimen, but everything else was good. And, you know, I can sit and say, okay, this is what I was feeling before, you know, I just didn't feel myself, right? And I can talk about those things. But I think, you know, hearing it from you and us going through some of our clients, what they tell us, because each person's different.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
And, you know, that's the one thing I'll lead with. And we are going to talk about, sorry, ladies, we are going to talk about the guys today. Okay. We will get to you ladies soon. But we're going to talk about, you know, males, testosterone levels, what they should be, and kind of the signs and symptoms that may register that, you know, to you that you are low.
Yeah.
So let's start with this. Low testosterone, also named male menopause. Do you use that term any?
Not a chance. I'll stick with low T. And where that's, everybody knows what that one is.
Okay. Andropause, which is more of, I guess, the clinical term, right? Or testosterone deficiency, right?
And there's hypogonadism as well.
And hypogonadism, yep. So those are kind of the terminology that is out there, guys and gals. And I did kind of laugh in the male menopause because, listen, I will say this. I do think the ladies have it a little bit harsher when it comes to levels dropping off because, you know, guys, it's more of a slower decline over time. And my opinion on this, that's why a lot of guys don't necessarily recognize it until they're super low, until some of these things that we're going to talk about really are showing their face, right? Versus, unfortunately, ladies, like once you hit menopause, you know you're going through it, you know it happens, and there's a big drastic change. Versus, once again, guys, it's a nice, unfortunate, gradual decline over the course of time.
And I think that's true to a certain extent. When the menopause, when that hits, that's when 100% your estrogen dropping off. That's nothing to do with your testosterone levels. So, unfortunately, with all the EDCs and stuff and all the stressors of life we're dealing with now, the same thing that's happening with guys kind of gradually going down with testosterone, it's happening to females too. Okay. The amount of premenopausal females we have that are just on testosterone therapy is absolutely mind-boggling. Just like the amount of men we have that are 22, 23 years old with testosterone levels on 80-year-old man is mind-boggling. So it's an environmental issue that a lot of people don't understand. That when they're 25 and they're feeling like this, they feel like they shouldn't have it because they're at a certain age. Right. And so it's hard for a lot of people to grasp that times have changed. And, you know, everybody points their finger at the livelihood, the lifestyle of the people, as far as the diet goes, what they do profession, as far as sitting in the chairs all day long, just not training, that plays a massive factor. A bigger factor is going to be our EDCs, which is endocrine disrupting chemicals that are in every single aspect of our life from the time you wake up, the time you go to bed it's just raping our endocrine system.
And things like that could be. Just an example, like could be your toothbrush, your shampoo. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
The toothpaste, lotion. I think I seen a post the other day was uh, about females, how they put like 100 to 130 different things on their skin on a weekly basis that all include these EDCs, and we wonder why they're so messed up. And I think a lot of females wait, they have, because they have the indicator of menopause, that they think everything's fine up until that point. And so it's harder for them to understand that things aren't fine if they're not hitting that particular, that menopause, that part of life. Times are just changing, man. And everything's different. Everything we thought we knew about hormone levels and stuff like that, and how important they were, it turns out they're way more important than we thought. And there's not an exact indicator of when you're supposed to get things checked out. And I think that's what makes everything so difficult, because there's not an exact indicator. There's not an exact number. This hormone is the only thing in the health industry, but there's not an exact indicator. If this is low, you do this. But what's low? That's different with hormones. So it's hard for people to understand.
I mean, I can relate to that same thing in the nutrition world, right? There's not a one size fits all approach.
Absolutely.
There's things that are black and white, but there's a lot of things that are gray, right? And I love this, guys. And once again, the way the partnership works with Summit is you guys can get a free consult by using our link. And with the free consult, Scott's team, we'll answer any questions you have. And I have, this is Scott, more of a, just a shout out to you guys, but I have four quotes I want to read off that people have messaged me, right? The first one is, "Best I have felt in years. Thank you very much for, referring me over." Number two, "Thank you for recommending Summit. The customer service," and this is a shout out to all your team, "customer service was polite and friendly, and they took the time to explain the details."
That makes me so happy.
Right. I mean,
That,
that, I mean,
man.
I just, and it does me too, because it's like I'm, when I try to bring on people that are good people, like the customer service is a big thing. Right. We
Yeah,
understand
absolutely.
this. And that made, made me happy that, because once again, and this is a broad statement, in the medical world, unfortunately, a lot of doctors, physicians, PAs, they're rushed. Right. And people are feeling that. Right. They feel that they're not heard and people aren't taking the time. So that was awesome. I feel 20 years younger. Like, that's pretty straightforward. Okay. Gotcha. And I like this one too. "Hey, I had my blood work done for Summit. Everything was in, they said, the upper ranges, and that treatment was not needed, just to check back yearly with blood work." So I love that one too. And I think you would also, in the sense that, like, hey, if someone comes to you, like you were saying, and this is where I've learned from you over the past, 6 months. Traditionally, I would have been saying, "Hey, once you're 40, go have your blood work done. You're probably going to need treatment because of age." I've kind of re not retracted that statement, but what I'm doing now is, to everybody, have your blood work done, build a baseline so that we
Absolutely.
know where you're at. Because what you were saying earlier is 100% true, right? It's not what it was 20 or 30 years ago when it's like, okay, as you get older, you lose 3%, levels per decade, whatever those numbers are. It could be the 24-year-old that is struggling with low T at this point because of X, Y, and Z.
Absolutely. And if the thing is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you need hormones, we're gonna give them to you. If you don't, there's no point in getting on if you don't need them. You know what I mean? It's not gonna do you any more benefit. And so, like, we're more of a symptom-based clinic, a numbers-based clinic. If you're not having any symptoms of low testosterone just yet, then to ride that out and feel good for as long as possible until you don't have to. We want to help people that need the help. But if you're not having any kind of issues, there's nothing really there to help. And checking your levels to see where they're at, no matter if you're feeling great or not. If you're feeling great, there's even more reason to do it, because then you know for a fact where your levels are at when you felt great. So in 10 years, you can go back and take your levels again. And hey, you know what? I felt great at this age. Let's get them back to where that was. Unfortunately, no one really does that. They wait till it's too late and feel like crap. They don't know where their levels are supposed to be at. And
100%.
everyone's different with that. It's a sliding scale.
Yeah, and I always say this: I chase results, not numbers, when we're talking about macros,
100%.
right? Hey, I'm not chasing a hypothetical 1 gram of protein per target body weight. It's a great starting point. Great starting point. It's what I educate, but I don't chase it. I chase results, and then whatever numbers we have at that period is the numbers we want. So I love that. All right, well, let's dive into, some of the signs and symptoms. And what I'll do once again is I give my opinion based on just experience and knowledge, and you can correct me, if I'm wrong, and then you can give a symptom that maybe, Scott, maybe go in the order that you're seeing it with clients, right? So, I understand you're not seeing 100% of the clients that come in to your facility, but like go based on like if you had to put the number one symptom out there, and kind of work from there, right? But for me, mine was, it was the competitiveness, right? Like I was noticing that I was not competitive, and that was with myself, It was within a group environment, right? And it was a point where I just caught myself. I'm like, why don't I want to be as competitive as I used to be? Whether that be my strength numbers, whether that be my cycle times, my wattage, whatever it is, right? I was okay with just going through the motions. I think that was probably one of the biggest things that I noticed, right before I had my blood work done initially, that just wasn't there.
And I love that you said that, man. That's one that's not really spoken about a whole lot at all. Is that sense to compete? And that one is everybody thinks it's like winning some sort of thing. It's not. It's even in the work field, even in being a father, being a father, being a husband. It's that urge to that oomph to want to be better and competing against yourself. And when you stop competing, you stop caring about results. Oh, I'll do it later, or whatever it may be. I don't really feel like doing it anymore. That's a sense of you losing the urge, the oomph to want to compete with yourself. And that's one is not talked about a lot, but that's a slippery hill to go down. Once you stop caring, you get to a certain point, then it's gonna get worse and worse and worse and worse, and snowball effect. You get to the point where you're fat and lazy and don't even understand what the hell happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And just an everyday example of this would be like, for the guys and gals listening, like maybe you were the green thumb. And what I mean by that is like you cared about how your yard looked, how your house looked from the outside. And then you notice the last few years, you just like it hasn't mattered to you. That could be what we're talking about, right? So, kind of keep that in mind if you think you've lost that little edge when it comes to, be quote unquote being competitive or not really caring about the things that you once cared for. That could definitely be a sign.
Yeah, the loss of interest in things that you used to love to do is a want that's overshadowed by everything else a lot of the times. They just think it's getting older, their priorities changing, which that could be a part of it too. But if you used to love, if you love cars for 25 years, and all of a sudden you start to lose the love you had to want to work on them or whatever it may be, there's a reason for that typically. It's not just because you just all of a sudden lose interest out of nowhere. It's because there's some hormone imbalance going on that's probably rolling over to other parts of your life. You're not realizing.
And that was that your top one? If you think that would probably be the top one, is just
No,
awesome.
I think that's probably the one of the ones I like a lot that doesn't get brought up. For guys, the top one, no matter what they say it is usually the sexual aspect of it. Because guys will literally have their leg broken in half and won't go to the hospital. But if you have something to do with their messing with their sex life, then it's all over, right? But I think a lot of it starts from being tired, not getting that restful sleep, and that leads into other things. Because 99% of people come in here and say they're tired. No matter how much sleep they get, they don't feel like they're well rested. And I think that's a big one. But I think that one isn't a big enough one for people to come in, because usually that's the starter, and then it rolls into other things, being sore longer, the ED issues, the libido issues, all that kind of stuff, and it all eventually rolls into that one. I think the first one that most people experience is the 5 o'clock, you know, from work, and you're already tired. You're already ready for bed. You know what I mean? That's not normal. Excuse me. That's not a positive thing. If you wake up and you feel like you're tired, there's a reason for it.
100%. So we got, just listening, going through the list that we've had so far, loss of interest, loss of competitive drive, low sex drive, right? And of course, and that low sex drive, guys can go into once again, having difficulty achieving or maintaining an erection, right? I mean, that's
Absolutely.
part of it, but I don't think it has to get to that,
It
right?
really doesn't, man. And like just saying these symptoms and side effects does not mean that these are uniquely that you have to have these in order to have low testosterone. There's 1,000 of them, and everyone reacts differently. You could have a guy with a phenomenal sex drive, has no ED problems whatsoever, but has a problem concentrating and sleeping or not having the competitiveness. You could have guys that sleep great, they're in great shape, low body fat, and have ED issues. So they're all very, very, very different on a per person basis. But I would say 100% of the time, a lot of guys lose a libido. It's because they've had a bad experience with ED and they're almost embarrassed, and they scare themselves out of wanting to have that because they don't want to face the embarrassment again. And that's just something that shouldn't happen, man. It's too easy to fix.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of times is, I talk about it in the changing and in dropping weight and making a lifestyle change, right? It's pain or pleasure. So a lot of times as guys, I understand like we have an ego, we want to protect that ego, right? And we don't want to admit that, no, I'm a guy, I don't, I haven't lost interest in sex, right? When you have. But then when something like that happens, that's enough quote unquote pain, right? To
Oh
make
yeah.
you drive to make a change.
It's a kick in the ego. And I think, like I was saying earlier, that's one of the biggest indicators, because guys can't deal with that embarrassment. That's if they could have 15 other symptoms for the past 10 years going on. Typically when that happens, they'll come in and say it's something else, but at the end of the day, that ends up coming out later in later discussions that it is that they had a bad sexual experience, they had no libido, and that changes the dynamic of the entire relationship, or even from the wife's side. If you're married to somebody and you're the wife, and that person's not want to have sex with you or wherever it may be, and they're making excuses because they're embarrassed, and all you see is the outside part where they're not attracted to you, and you're thinking a thousand different things, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the marriage. We see that all the time. So
100%.
it's one of them things where the guys think it just affects them with the libido. It's not, because you have a spouse that is not feeling attracted anymore because you not wanting to do that, not get fixed or whatever it may be. That's how male and female connect. They bond through sex. And if you're not having sex, that bond is going to get further and further apart.
Yeah, and even, I would say that bond is pulled apart a lot because of the lack of, right? Lack of
Um, a
that
thousand
connection.
percent,
Because
a thousand percent.
I mean, you're not showing all the other affection that comes along with it, not just sex, right?
Yeah.
You're not quote unquote dating your spouse. All those little things that you do when your levels are higher, right?
Absolutely.
So I think that's something that we need to keep in mind from that aspect.
Absolutely.
Now, this one I would say is kind of an old, and once again, correct me if I'm wrong in the statement with this, but classic thinking would be like, well, Jeremy, you're on testosterone, you're going to be more moody. I would argue that when you have low testosterone, you are a lot more moody than when you're quote unquote supplementing with it.
Times 10. Testosterone should amplify who you are as a person, not make it worse. And a lot of the moodiness comes actually from the estrogen side. However, the higher testosterone is, the higher the estrogen is. It should make your mood better. A lot of people assume because they heard the whole roid rage bullshit that's been going on forever. That's just an excuse that there was an asshole guy, took some steroids, got more confident. Now he's a bigger, cocky, arrogant asshole. That's all he is. You know what I mean? But testosterone therapy, if done correctly, should enhance your mood, not make it worse. What's the whole point of taking something that's supposed to help your life be better if it makes it worse because you're in a shitty mood all the time? You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. And then the last aspect, goes wrong with mood, is the mental aspect of it, like memory, right? Like,
Oh yeah.
and I'm sure you've seen this because I've talked to, a few clients that are older, they end up, having their blood work done, starting on testosterone. And they're like, well, Jeremy, I feel about the same. And I'm like, cool, Roger that. What's the big difference? So like mental. They're like,
Yeah.
I can remember things much better. I'm not forgetting things. Right. Like that was their big thing. So that's the cool aspect to see is like, we're listing out a lot of these symptoms, right? And it could be different for each person, but I've also seen that it can be different, like what is amplified and what that person really feels like was the best attribute or they attribute to the therapy being the best thing for them.
Well, I think the physical aspect is over always overshadows the mental aspect as far as we talk about TRT, that I think biceps and abs, which that's cool. That's a phenomenal thing. More body fat, stronger, more muscle. That's awesome. The real cool shit is the mental part. The depression, the anxiety, the mental cognition, the sleep patterns, all that stuff. The more your sleep patterns get correct, the more restful sleep you get over long term, the better you're gonna feel overall. And then the best one was I had a patient of guys, he was an iron worker. And he was saying, come home by 3 or 4 o'clock and be dead, be on the couch sleeping by 5, and his kids won't want to play. He had no energy to do it. After 6 months on therapy, he was not only walking to the place, a public pool he goes to, which he hated going to because it gave him so much anxiety. He was walking there with his kids, walking back, and his quote unquote, what he told me was, "You let me be, you made me a father." And that's the and it had nothing to do with the body fat, had nothing to do with the muscles, had nothing to do with anything. It relieved the anxiety for him and gave him the extra energy to actually walk to a place he hated going to previously because he wasn't worried about the anxiety effect. That is the coolest shit on earth, man. Like I said, the body fat's cool, the arms is cool, the abs, that's neat. But give somebody their life back and make them feel like they're being a father again is the coolest aspect on earth.
Well, I think we're both showing our age and our experience in this world and especially helping other people is like we've been through that, right? Like, okay, abs are cool, but the biggest thing is the journey. And
Absolutely.
this made me happy the other day. One of my clients, it was another personal trainer, had posted something on social media about going away from the term fitness, right? Going away from like fitness to more of, I can't remember if it was wellness or what the terminology we used. And Chris, my guy, going on. Chris has lost almost 200 pounds. Like he's 3 years into his journey. He put on muscle. Now he's working to drop, get to a leaner version with more muscle. And he's like, yeah, my coach refers it to the wellness journey. And you know, that's what we're doing here is like, yes, like you, yes, we may go in and notice like I did have another sign and symptom here, you know, written down of lower, you know, I'm sorry, lower bone density, but you know, increased body fat, decreased muscle tissue. Like, okay, like I got it. We don't need to talk about that, I don't think, right? Because you know, that I feel like is talked everywhere. And we need to, along with everyone else, do a better job talking about this other stuff, right? How people are going to feel better mentally. They're going to be better fathers, going to be better coworkers when we optimize their entire life, not just necessarily one aspect in the wellness field.
Absolutely, man. It's something that's again, it's the mental aspects are overshadowed. I think those are less known because no one talks about them. Everyone thinks when they get on testosterone as a steroid, it affects nothing but physical. Is testosterone a steroid? Yes, technically, it's absolutely a steroid. It's a sex hormone steroid. However, that sex steroid is something that's naturally occurring in your body and affects almost every single function of your body, right? From your brain, your heart function, your liver, everything. It's got to be present. Just because it's been glorified in a negative negative light by the wrestlers or fighters or whatever it may be, some drunk asshole claiming roid rage, people think it's this negative, this tabooness about it, and so like the mental side gets kind of pushed under the rug. Because it's overshadowed by all this other crap.
And as we transition from symptoms, right? So just trying to put some of those things out there. And what I would say to your gentleman, you know, once again, if you just don't feel yourself, right? You just feel like things are off, things are not doing as well. You don't have the competitive drive that you once have, right? You don't have the interest, you know, in your significant other that you once did. Have your levels tested, right? See where you're at. And that's probably, you know, one thing that I have changed. Once again, I used to say, you know, hey, when you hit a little bit older in age, you know, go and have these blood work looked at. I have changed that now to everyone I work with, like, hey, in the next 6 months to a year that you're working with me, I would love for you to get your blood work done. Let's build a baseline so we know where it's at and we can look at this as we move forward. Okay. But after we have some symptoms, we know next we go into, okay, how is low testosterone diagnosed? Right. What is generally the treatment? And I also want you to speak to what is the range of testosterone levels.
So how it's diagnosed is, again, we're different than most providers, which is actually different than most of the medical community altogether. We are a symptom-based clinic and numbers-based clinic. What I mean by that is we don't follow the reference range that's whatever. It changes all the damn time, but now it's like 200 to 950 or 850, whatever it is. If you come in, you have XYZ symptoms, we're going to try to make them XYZ symptoms gone through testosterone therapy. Now, as far as the dosing, that ranges from anything from 100 milligrams a week up to 350, 400 milligrams a week. Everybody's very, very unique with that. It ranges very, very drastically as far as the milligram and the shot patterns. Again, it's not a cookie cutter approach by any means. It can't be. Everybody is biologically unique. Therefore, it'd make no sense whatsoever to give everybody the same symptom or the same amounts, same protocol, and expect them to have the same results. It's silly. As
And
far as where we want to have them be at, again, we don't look at numbers a whole lot, man. If you come in with 5 symptoms of low testosterone and you're at 300 and we get you to 500, 600, the symptoms are still there. We get you 800, the numbers are gone. I'm sorry, the symptoms are gone. Guess what? 800, that would keep you in that range. We have some guys that feel like complete shit at 600. We have some guys that feel like phenomenal at 600. That's because the total testosterone number is the only thing is talked about. There's about 13 other factors that play a role into that, but most people are uneducated on that, and they just like doctors, for example, they should know better than to judge it more off of just your total number, not take a factor in your SHBG, your sexual and binding globulin, how much is bound up receptors, how much is not. However, no one looks at that. Well, you're 800, you're fine. Well, you're not fine if your SHBG is so elevated that only half of a percentage of that is actually free, and the rest is bound up. So you're not fine. You know what I mean? So it's just I try to kind of get that thought process out of our patients right at the top. They say, you know, I'm gonna get to 1,000. I'm gonna say, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you're gonna get to a certain number, that's not gonna do anything for you. That number's coming out of nowhere. You're just picking out of thin air. If I get you to 600 and you're feeling fine, getting you to 1,000 is gonna do nothing for you, but besides potentially cause similar side effects that we don't want. That's the whole point, is to feel good, not have to give you something else to combat side effects that make a lot of sense.
And that was one thing that I was really surprised in was the customization on an individual aspect, right? And doing two shots a week versus just one shot a week, right? Because the physician I'd worked with before that did HRT, was a one shot a week. But once again, this was 10 or 15 years ago, right? And I see how, as you're talking about, the field has changed a little bit. You learn, more and things as you go. So that was one thing that I remember being neat was looking at it in the micro dosages, doing 2 to 3 shots a week versus a larger bolus of a shot. So that was, something I noticed early on working with your team, versus what I had seen and known working in the field previously.
Well, because a lot of people, I mean, because the half-life of the compound itself is testosterone supernatant, 7 to 9 days. That's fantastic. That's taking consideration of the half-life of the compound. However, what about taking consideration how fast the person we're giving it to metabolizes that particular compound? Just because that's the compound's half-life, 7 to 9 days, does not mean it's going to be active in your body for 7 to 9 days from me to you. It could be, I could metabolize very, very quick, like I do. So I take six injections a week, little microdose injections with the insulin syringe, little tiny syringe. We have some guys who can get by once a week, they metabolize at a much slower rate. So knowing the half-life of your compound is one thing, but you need to take into consideration how fast your body metabolizes it and what rate it metabolizes it, because everyone, again, is going to be very, very unique with that.
Gotcha. And one last thing I want to talk about, right? Because I feel like we've done a great job in, okay, what are the symptoms, right? And then of course, yes, treatment is we find blood work, not only just testosterone, but free testosterone, sex as what's SPG, is it
It's
SPG?
SHBG, sex hormone binding globulin.
Looking at all those aspects, right? But we look at, if someone is diagnosed from a clinical traditional standpoint, we're diagnosed with clinical low T. You're going to be treated with HRT, which is hormone replacement therapy. And then testosterone therapy is a lifelong treatment, right? If you stop treatment, your levels will drop. That's what most of the time is listed out there, written. But I want people to understand it's going to drop back to what would be normal for your lifestyle, your environment, and everything at that age. Because I think there's a stigma that, oh, once you stop, like it's going to never be produced or back to these like sub-zero levels, right? And that's not the case. The body will start producing testosterone again. You will return back to what would be normal for that person under that environment, that age, et cetera.
Exactly. And the thing is, people don't think about is your natural testosterone drops off as the years go on from environmental factors, whatever it may be. If you start testosterone at 300 and you get on testosterone, you're on for 3, 2, 3, 4, 5 years and you stop, you might be lower than 300 when you get back off because 2, 3 years time has passed. You've been exposed to those chemicals. You've been exposed to the stressors of life. So you might not be back 300 where you were, but it's not because you've been on testosterone therapy. It's because you've had 2, 3, 4 years time to pass, and that's how much testosterone levels drop on a yearly basis if you were on testosterone regardless. But in order to see the benefits of testosterone therapy, you kind of got to stay on. So most people think they can get off for a few months and kickstart their system, and unfortunately, that's just not something that happens.
100%. Awesome, brother. Well, hey, I appreciate it for your time. Once again, ladies, we will be coming at you with more specific numbers for you, your levels, and maybe what the symptoms are. I think we got a good nugget, or at least I got a great nugget out today, Scott, with you talking about, seeing that it's not as big of a drop off in our ladies like traditionally it's been, right? Based on, what it was in the past, based on what you're seeing. So I think that was a good nugget for the ladies to think about, but we will come at you girls with a direct podcast on ladies' testosterone levels and that at a later date. Guys, as always, I appreciate you listening to the podcast. If you do want to check out Summit, check out the link inside of the notes, free consult with his team. You can all get blood work done, not work with their practice, and just get that blood work done as baseline. You can work with his practice. Once again, as we always say, we're here to help you and lead you in the right direction. Scott and I will not hold it against you whether you do work or don't work. Not a big deal. We just want you to have access, to treatment if it is needed.
I appreciate your time, fellas.
Have a great day. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you
man. You
soon.
too.